Well, good evening, and welcome to From Out of the City for the week of May 13th, 2007. That's right, everybody. It's Mother's Day week. Hope you all are doing what you need to do to evidence to the woman who is responsible for you getting into this world that you're happy she went through all of that. Otherwise, don't blame me if she decides to guilt you a notch or two. This is William F. DeVault, sometimes known as the romantic poet of the internet, and romance sometimes played a role in your conception and birth, so don't rule that out completely. And I'm coming to you from Studio C here in suburban Washington, D.C., and just wanted to remind you all of the holiday. Motherhood is a complicated framework. It brings to mind in many people's eyes and minds different images, different thoughts, different perceptions. And it should, because it is a large and grand scale, with all of us having had different relationships with our mothers. And that's okay. But the mother in literature, in history, in life, is, on the whole, a positive image, that of nurturing and birthing, of unconditional love and sacrifice, somewhere between the Virgin Mary and Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest. Hopefully more towards A than B. So what I'd like to do is share with you today a few poems of mine in that general zone. Now, those of you familiar with my catalog realize that I don't write a lot of poems about my mother. Nothing wrong with that. My mother and I have, as everybody does, I think to some degree, a complicated relationship. I love her very dearly. She loves me. We don't necessarily always understand each other. She's always kind of scratched her head about this poetry thing I'm into. And our political and even our theological views, while both sincerely held, certainly come from a different view of mankind and man's relationship to God and all of this. And that's all right. Because if you want two people who are clones of each other, you're not really looking for any growth. You're looking for validation, and validation is often the last thing any passionately held belief needs, because it keeps us from thinking clearly and evaluating where we've gone right and where we've gone wrong and where we should go next. You held the child without repent for all the emotions that you'd sent to live within this newborn shell, to shelter him from time and, well, from all those things you knew to fear, in hope, in pain, in life, each tear becoming precious as the child you love grew from birth to something you could not control but loved nonetheless. For in your soul you knew that this was of you, and true to the charity of your heart, you loved without question, without repent, as a mother should. The name of that poem is Without Repent. The mother represents, or should at least, that unquestioning love, that charity of purpose. Charity is a word that has gotten beat up so much in modern times. Charity, in its purest sense, means to love, to give, without anticipation of a return. Now, yes, there are mothers out there who are bent and broken people. We've all met them. But for the most part, a mother loves without anticipation of it being returned, at least in full. Yes, mothers want to be loved. They want to be acknowledged. And shame on you if you don't acknowledge your mother, even if she wasn't perfect. But they love regardless. My daughter once said to me, she didn't believe in unconditional love, and in that moment I felt sorry for her. Because if you can't love unconditionally, you can't love. I once said in an interview that I don't think an atheist can understand romantic love. Because God loves us whether or not we are capable of returning that love, whether or not we're even capable of acknowledging God's existence. That's real love. If you're loving expecting to get something back, that's not love. That's bartering. Real love gives and doesn't ask for anything in return. And that's what a mother's image is. And that's what a mother's image should be. If you're a mother, remember that. And for the all of us who have mothers, and guess what? At one time or another, all of us have mothers. Acknowledge that. Here's someone who loves you unconditionally. Now, she may criticize you. Heaven knows. She may say, you know, don't do this or do that, or I don't like it when you do this, or I want you to grow up to be that. My mother is still overcoming the disappointment with the fact I didn't grow up to be a minister. Surprise, surprise, in some people's eyes and minds, I am. But just not in the way that she saw it. And you know what? She still loves me. Because she's a mother. She's my mother. And whether or not she understands what I've written, what I've said, what I've done, she's still going to love me. And that's a powerful thing. Sigmund Freud once said something to the effect that a young man who grows up knowing that he is his mother's favorite goes into life with a sense of invincibility. Well, I don't necessarily think I was my mother's favorite. I think I ticked her off as often as any of my siblings. But just knowing that she accepted me and approved of me, even when she didn't agree with me, that was good. That gave me the license to explore who and what I am. And on the whole, I don't think I'm a force for evil in the world. Some will argue you that. Your hands are so small, and yet there was a time when they held my entire world. Your hands are so frail, and yet there was a time they sheltered me from everything wrong in the world. Your hands were the first essence of the universe I knew. As you held me, as you sang to me, as you put me on my feet and put me on my path and taught me how to laugh even when I wanted to cry. And I was shaped by those hands. I was once the clay. And in their own way, they made me all that I am. That poem, entitled Small Hands, has a strange history. I wrote it several years ago for a website called Cyber Vines, and one day they closed the site without advance warning to anybody. And I had not copied down everything I wrote there. One of the disadvantages of being a one-draft poet is I sometimes write things live. And if I don't copy them down at that time, this taught me, I can lose the piece forever. And it's unfortunate, but such is life. No? I even wrote to the people who owned the site and said, please, can I have, you know, this piece and that piece? Because there were a few pieces there. Never got a response from them. And from what I understand, I wasn't the only person a little ticked about the whole thing. So, if you're one of those people responsible for the Cybervines website, give yourself a good smack upside the head for me. Anyway, I'm going to close with one of the shortest poems I ever wrote. Yes, it's from those ubiquitous Panther cycles. It's from the cycle entitled Cassiopeia's Garden. Cassiopeia was the child the panther and I talked of having. And I was delighted to hear not that long ago that she is now a mother. And I hope that she raises her daughter with 1/1000th the love and passion and devotion she spoke of having. Because if so, that child will never doubt but that she was wanted and loved. But anyway, Cassiopeia's Garden was from the viewpoint of the child, talking about flowers in the world. And there was one very short poem I wrote from the standpoint of Cassiopeia, talking about gathering wildflowers to give to her mother. And it's just called Wildflowers. Fistfuls of color to give to my mother, to show her I love her. Now go call your mother and let her know you love her. And wish her a happy Mother's Day, even if it's no longer Mother's Day, even if you're listening to this in November. Give your mother a call. She deserves it. She'll tell you that she deserves it. Again, this is William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet, wishing you a most excellent day, week, month, and year. And this has been from Out of the City. Take care. God bless. Hi, Mom.